They're playing Peter Greenberg's song. He is the award-winning travel editor for CBS News, host of The Travel Detective on public television, and joins us right now. Good morning, Peter.
And good morning to you, sir.
Let's start with the airlines and the change fees that they have waived. There's some confusion about this. What are they doing? Are they doing away with those waivers as of April 1st?
No, it's not about the waivers that we're talking about. It's the old days that when you made a reservation on a flight and you had to change it, there would be a change fee that in many cases, in dollar value, wiped out the original cost of the ticket. It could be as high as $200 on a domestic ticket, and in some cases, fastening your seatbelt, as high as $750 on an international ticket. Those fees now have been waived and have been thrown out by the airlines for the last 3 or 4 months. What that means is if you need to change your flight, you're not going to lose your money. The money that you spent on your original flight will be applied to another flight.
But are they going to reinstate those penalty fees soon?
My understanding is that they're not. United Airlines is the first out of the gate saying they've done it permanently. So from a competitive point of view, it is not in the best interest of Delta or American to all of a sudden institute change fees, because remember, when Southwest Airlines said they're not charging you for bags, the needle moved over to Southwest and all the other airlines were charging. So there's a history and a precedent here that seems to indicate that those change fees will stay waived, at least for the rest of this year.
Hope so. A friend of mine who was at O'Hare over the weekend said it was busier than he had seen it since Thanksgiving of 2019. And that was the case across the country the past week, correct?
It was. And in fact, the TSA was screening 1.3 million passengers, the largest amount they've done since, let's say, February of 2020. They've already announced they're hiring 6,000 new screeners that will be coming on board before May, because they're anticipating, as the airlines are, a huge bump in domestic U.S. air travel between now and Memorial Day.
So the prices are already way up, or was that just because of spring break, Peter?
Well, half of one and 6,000 of the other, and of course I mispronounced that, but here's the deal. Fares are up about 27% over what they were, but let's talk about what they were. We're talking about a $92 fare from New York to Los Angeles, which is now about $119. That's not so bad. Where it's going to get bad is as we get closer to the end of April and we get into the summer months, raw supply and demand. So if anybody's looking to book a fare now, do it so you can hold on to it. And, of course, knowing that if you have to change it later, you're not going to get killed with those changes.
What do you know about international travel and when that will resume?
Well, it's funny because some airlines are actually starting to announce new service or the resumption of old service overseas when, in fact, there's still no market for it. There's no international long-haul business travel. And, of course, as I'm talking to you today, the United Kingdom is still on lockdown. Ireland is on lockdown. France is about to go back into lockdown. Italy just went into lockdown last week. Croatia now is in lockdown. And we've got a situation now where more and more countries are experiencing that second wave. About the only country I know that's coming out of this for the moment is Israel, because they were the first country to essentially, by the end of this month, vaccinate their entire population. So right now, international travel before July 15th is looking a little iffy.
And that card you get after you're vaccinated, will airlines be asking us to show that card before boarding?
Many of them have already announced they will, but no U.S. airlines have actually said they're demanding it. Cruise lines are. A number of cruise lines have already said you cannot get a reservation or a cabin on a cruise ship unless you absolutely get proof of vaccination. And that's going to start happening. Remember, some cruise lines have already made it mandatory for their crews to be vaccinated. Same thing for their officers. And it just stands to reason that next in line are going to be the passengers.
I heard you talking about rent-a-car prices going up. Are there some ways around it that we can still save money when we rent a car?
There are. I mean, during the pandemic, a lot of rental car companies unloaded a lot of their inventory, meaning their fleets got smaller. And as law of supply and demand, as demand starts picking up and you have a lower number of cars available, those prices go up. The very first thing I would suggest to everybody, which, by the way, would be my suggestion during the pre-pandemic months as well, is don't rent at the airport. Airport rentals are always invariably 20 to 25% higher. rent locally. A lot of these local rental operations will give you a free shuttle service to the airport, and you can always return it to the airport, in many cases without a drop-off charge. So that's the first thing I do.
And I saw something the other day about this Real ID. Now, we thought we were going to need this last year, but I guess because of the pandemic, they postponed it. But will you need this to fly after October 1st of this year?
Well, you know, we thought we needed it after 2015. It was a law passed by Congress and kept on getting extended on the deadline. The latest deadline will be October 1st of this year, 6 years later. And if you have a valid passport, you won't need it. But you will need it if you don't have a passport, and that's even for domestic travel. Go to the Department of Motor Vehicles, wherever you happen to be. They will usually put a star in the upper right-hand corner of your driver's license, and that will serve as your Real ID.
So the deadline, October 1st of this year for that. One more question, Peter. This has come up from time to time about the way airlines board. Have they changed the boarding procedure? Have some airlines changed the way they board during the pandemic? And going forward, are they thinking about whether the people who are in the back should get on first, or the people who at window seats should board first? What's the deal on this?
You know, scientists from MIT and many other organizations have tried for years to figure out what's the proper way to board. During the pandemic, they decided they were going to throw all those ideas out the window and just board from the back to the front so that nobody was walking by anybody else. And that's been most of the time the case. However, you know, some people want to be more equal than others, and some airlines are beginning to entertain the idea of going back to the old days of pre-boarding first class or elite members of their frequent flyer programs, then, you know, parents and children, and then everybody else. It's every airline's doing it on their own. Everybody's siloed. So the answer to your question is there is no one answer.
Yeah, well, you know what? They should board the coach passengers first, and that way also you wouldn't have to walk by people sitting in first class giving you that look. You know what I mean, Peter?
I've had that look.
Yeah.
By the way, I've also given that look.
So I'll bet you have. Peter Greenberg, and you can hear about Saturdays here on WGN Radio. Happy travels, Peter. Always good talking to you.
You got it, Mr. S.